If you have your Bibles with you today, I want to encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to take a little break from the Gospel of Mark this morning, focus on some things that the Bible has to say about fathers as we celebrate Father's Day today. A passage that probably most of you are familiar with. You've heard these words occasionally read and proclaimed perhaps. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I think our passage this morning is helpful to us for a number of reasons today. Certainly as we pause for a few minutes this morning to celebrate Father's Day and the fathers that are here with us and to see what God says about fathers in His Word. Aren't we glad today that the Bible addresses so many different topics and subjects? And whatever it is that we are doing or thinking about or celebrating in our culture, we know that God has revealed and spoken, revealed Himself and spoken to us concerning fathers and fathering and the relationship between a father and his child. Aren't we glad today that we have verses like this? Fathers, it's good that we know what the Bible says to us about our role as fathers, what God has designed for us and what God has laid out for us in His Word. And our passage this morning, as I mentioned earlier, is fairly clear. It's fairly straightforward. Most of us would acknowledge that our fathers here today that we need help with this thing called fathering. If you're like me, you recognize that sometimes we feel kind of in over our heads and we don't really know what we're to do. We don't know how to handle things that come up with our children, so we need help. And that's why I'm thankful this morning that God has given us help in His Word, and we have to be diligent students of the Bible in order to understand and to know what God has said for us. To the young folks here today that are still at home living with your parents, it's also good that you know what the Bible says, what God says to you regarding the relationship that you have with your parents. Just as your parents have God-given roles and responsibilities, so do you. According to the Bible. And sometimes we think the Bible is just for adults, it's just for grown-ups, and that God doesn't say anything about you as a student, as a young person, as a child. But that would be wrong. And we've already seen here in this passage in verses 1, 2, and 3 that God does address what your relationship with your parents is supposed to look like, and that God speaks to these responsibilities and this relationship. So in your Bibles, if you look at verses 1, 2, and 3, the Apostle Paul does explain to children the responsibilities that they have towards their parents. So kids, listen up for a little bit, right? Today's Father's Day, it'd be an appropriate time to think about what the Bible says about how you are to relate to your father. You may remember a few weeks ago we celebrated Mother's Day, and you may have forgotten what that message was about, but we looked at the fifth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And Paul actually brings that same commandment up here in our passage today. So there's some overlap between our Mother's Day message and our Father's Day message. And I did that for a reason, because this commandment is an important one. Sometimes we believe that everything in the Old Testament, that's just for people that lived before Jesus, and we don't have to worry about the things that are in the Old Testament. Well, that is true in some ways, but when we have a New Testament author reference verbatim an Old Testament commandment, that tells me that commandment is important, because it's found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and because it's in the New Testament, that means it still applies today. So we cannot disregard the fifth commandment. We cannot disregard this verse that tells and instructs our young people how they are to relate to their parents. So if you're living at home today still with your parents, I want to point out to you two words that are found in these verses that I believe that guide how you are to relate to your parents. Okay, those two words, these are not my two words, these are God's two words. Two words that are found in this passage, and those two words are obey and honor. Okay, that's three words, but you know the point, right? Obey and honor. Those are the two words that we find here in this text, and kids, those may not be the two words that you were hoping to hear. right? When we think about some of us that are older, when we think about our own growing up years, those were our two words that we probably did not want to hear. Two words that we may prefer to hear would be ignore and disregard. But that's not what's in the text, right? That's what you probably wish was in the text, but that's not in there. And to my knowledge, we don't find those two words anywhere in the Bible when it comes to how you are to relate to mom and dad. But we do find these two words, obey and honor, here very, very clearly laid out. So here's the truth of the matter this morning, students and young folks. When you obey and honor your mother and father, you are also obeying and honoring God. And when you disobey and dishonor your mother and father, you are also disobeying and dishonoring God. So this is an important thing to think about. And I believe God has given these verses for us when we are young, when we are children. Look at the text once more. If you don't believe me, look at what Paul says here. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." This is the first commandment with a promise. So he's referencing Exodus 20:12, "that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." So obey your parents, Paul says. Honor your father and your mother. I don't think these verses need a whole lot of explanation, right? You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to get some fancy degree to understand what these two words mean. I think all of us here this morning probably could preach this sermon. It doesn't take me to do this. We understand what it means to obey. We understand what it means to honor. The actions of obeying and honoring, I believe, are bound up together. These are two ways of describing things that are similar. You can't do one without doing the other. Believe it or not, kids, your parents are a gift of God's grace to you. You say, "Pastor, I don't think so." They are, right? And one day when you're about my age or older or younger than me, you will realize that actually your parents are a gift of God's grace to you, to love you, to help you, to guide you, to shepherd you, to form you, to shape you, even though you may question at times the extent of your parents' love for you, right? And we all recognize that sometimes we don't get along with our parents. When our parents tell us no, we think, "Well, my parents must not love me if they don't let me do whatever it is that's going on." But that's just not the case. We know that parents, at least most of the time, act in the best interest of their children. As a parent myself with three kids at home, I can promise you I would never intentionally do something to harm my child. My children don't always appreciate and like the things that I do for them, but what I do for them is for their good. The word honor is the Hebrew word for heavy or weighty. You may remember this from Mother's Day. It's the word for heavy or weighty, and believe it or not, it's the same word the Old Testament uses for the glory of God. The word honor is wrapped up in this idea of the glory of God. So to honor one's mother and father is essentially to give full weight, to give full due to your parents because of their position. That's what God wants for you teenagers. That's what God wants for the children here, to give full weight to the position of authority that God has given to your parents. God has given your parents to you as a gift to you, and we are to obey our parents. We are to honor our father and mother. Why should we do that? Look at verse 1, the end of verse 1. Paul says, "For this is right." Why honor and obey your mom and dad? Because it's the right thing to do, according to Paul, who I believe is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's the right thing to do. And look at look at verse 3, "that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Young folks, just try your very best to take a step back, and even though you may not always agree with what your parents are doing, realize that God promises blessing and flourishing when you honor your parents, when you obey your mother and father. That's what the text says. Certainly, there's some Old Testament implications here as far as living in the land, right? That doesn't necessarily apply to us today, but the theme here is blessing and flourishing. Blessing and flourishing comes to those who honor their mothers and their father. So verses 1, 2, and 3, again, highlight the responsibilities that children have to their parents, how children are to relate to their parents. But look at verse 4. Here in verse 4, the Apostle Paul explains the responsibilities that fathers have towards their children. Right? Fathers, we're not off the hook here. Paul very clearly lays out for us how we are to relate to our kids, especially when they are living at home under our authority. Fathers, listen in. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. One very simple and obvious observation here to make as we begin thinking about this is that, fathers, our children are our responsibility. Isn't that a fascinating thing to think about? Right? That's implied in the text. Paul doesn't tell us that. It's assumed. It's implied. So dads, certainly with kids living at home, I believe all aspects of raising our children are our responsibility. At the very least, it's a shared responsibility. If you're married and if the mother of the children is in the home as well, certainly it's a shared responsibility. But we must be as fathers actively involved in the raising of our children. Sometimes we operate under this mindset that I'm going to financially provide for my kids, for my family, and that's going to be it. Right, that's the only duty and responsibility I have as a dad to my family is that I'm going to work hard, I'm going to make sure my wife and my kids have everything they need, and then I'm just going to kind of back up and take a step back from the ins and outs, the day in and day out of raising our children. And I think that's the wrong way to think, fathers. I think Paul doesn't allow us to do that. Paul says here in verse 4 that we are to be actively involved in every aspect of our child's upbringing. Author Brian Chappell says this of this passage. He says, we are to raise our children. The apostle's words carry an implicit understanding of who is to do the raising of a child. Fathers and mothers are mentioned in Ephesians 6:2, not grandparents, not paid services or servants, not institutions outside the home. This does not mean the family or the Bible forbids parents ever to utilize the services of others in fulfilling their biblical responsibilities of child care. Still, Paul's words challenge us all to make sure that we are the chief caregivers. Right? And that includes fathers here. Paul specifically addresses fathers. Sometimes we just let and or maybe wish that our wives would do a lot of the bringing up it. Biblically, that's the wrong way to think, because that's not what Paul says here in this passage. So fathers, let us know and believe that we have a responsibility towards our kids. Certainly when they are at home, we have an incredible opportunity and responsibility to parent and to shepherd our children. Paul explains the way in which we are to relate to our kids as we raise them. He tells us what not to do, and then he tells us what to do. Look at the beginning of verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. One translation says, do not exasperate your children. Another says, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, we need to give careful thought and attention to what Paul means here, because sometimes it seems that there are occasions in which it is permissible for our children to be angry at us. For example, every night when it's time for our kids to go to bed, almost every night they do not want to go to bed. Right, and there's a good chance they may not be angry. They're probably not angry at me and Katie, but they're frustrated. They wish that they could just stay up and do whatever they wanted to do. So is Paul saying that we can't do that? That we can't ever tell our kids anything that's going to make them upset or frustrated or angry at mom and dad? I don't think that's what Paul's saying here, because the rest of the Bible indicates and teaches so plainly that we are to lovingly discipline our children and do what's in their best interest. And so when as parents we say it's time to go to bed at hopefully 8 or 8:30 rather than at midnight, that's actually a loving thing to do for our kids, right? We can debate when a kid should go to bed, but the point, I think you get my point, is that there are times when we must guide our children to do certain things that they may not want. And again, students, that's where we have to trust that our parents are actually acting in our best interest. Though we may not see it, just know that they are. So I think Paul is saying here, we need to be careful not only how we discipline our kids, but also how we simply treat our kids. when he talks about not provoking our children to anger. Certainly when it comes to discipline, how we discipline our children is involved, but also just generally how we treat our children. Are we treating our children in a way that provokes their anger without cause or reason? And if that's the case, then we need to heed what Paul says here. What are some examples of how we do that? A.T. Lincoln, a commentator, says, quote, excessively severe discipline, unreasonably harsh demands, abuse of authority, arbitrariness, unfairness, constant nagging and condemnation, subjecting the child to humiliation, and all forms of gross insensitivity to a child's needs and sensibilities. Fathers, these are the things that we are to avoid. These are the things that when we do them, we are going to provoke our children to anger without just cause. So that's what we're not to do. What are we to do as we close this morning? Look at the end of verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Keep in mind who Paul is writing to in this verse. What's the very first word in verse 4? Fathers. Right? Oftentimes we think, well, it's my wife's responsibility to bring my children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Certainly it is her responsibility as well. But fathers, let us not shirk this responsibility. Paul gives us this responsibility here in verse 4. Paul is saying that it is our, he charges us to teach and to model and encourage and to promote godly habits within our children. It's our responsibility to teach our children to know God and to love Him. It's our responsibility to teach our children to know the Bible and to love the Bible. It's our responsibility to teach our children to be involved in the church and to love the local church. The ways that we speak about the church and the ways that we speak about all of these other things, our children are listening. And oftentimes things are more caught than taught. So we need to be very careful, not only what we say, but also how we say it and what we do. Discipline and instruction. Older translations say nurture and admonition. We don't provoke our children to anger, but we discipline and we instruct. We nurture and we admonish out of love. Right? Let us not miss that critical ingredient when it comes to raising our children in the discipline and fear and instruction of the Lord. We do this out of love for God, but also love for our children. Martin Luther wisely wrote, "Spare the rod and spoil the child, that is true. But beside the rod, keep an apple to give him when he has done well." Right, so let us balance our corrective discipline with love and affirmation for our children. As we think about one final passage this morning, it's interesting to me to think about how Jesus begins his ministry. Have you ever thought about the very first thing that happens before Jesus launches out to teach and preach? What happens? He's baptized. And then he hears these affirming words, these words of love and affirmation from his Father. Listen to what Mark 1, 9 through 11 says. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven." This is Jesus' heavenly Father speaking. "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." Fathers, do our kids know that we love them and affirm them? That's probably the most important thing that we can give to our kids, is our love and our affirmation. So, fathers, let us love and affirm our children for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for what you say to us, Lord, in your word. Thank you, God, just for the simplicity of this passage this morning. God, that's what I'm struck by. It's just so simple. Lord, I know it's simple perhaps to understand, but it's not always simple to obey. So, Lord, help us as we try to obey. Help us as we try to honor our fathers today, as we try to honor our fathers every day. But, Lord, help us also for the fathers here today to father our children the way in which you have revealed to us in your word. Let us not provoke our children to anger or wrath. Let us not exasperate our kids. But, Father, let us bring them up in the discipline and instruction of you, Lord. We need your help to do that. We pray these things in your name. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of response. And if you'd like to respond this morning to something you have heard, if you have need some prayer this morning, maybe today is a difficult day and you'd like for me or someone else to pray for you and to listen to you, I'll be down in the front. I'd be more than happy to do that. If you want to respond in faith and repentance in regards to Jesus and what he has done for you, I'd encourage you to do that as well. We skipped the first five chapters of the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters are all about what God has done for us in Jesus. We can't just skip to the parenting part without thinking about that Paul is addressing Christians in Ephesians chapter 6. And the way that you become a believer is through repenting of your sin and placing your faith in Jesus for salvation. If you haven't done that this morning and you want to talk to somebody about how you can do that, it'd be my privilege to talk with you. So let's stand, let's sing, let's respond.